I'm about kicking ass.
Wow.
I'm about taking names.
Wow.
I do keep
wow.
names.
Little bit faster. And if you don't feel it yet, you will. I'll promise you that.
Who's your daddy?
Reggie. Two. Number two to the mix. Momentum.
Welcome to Pi Radio, episode 2. Yep, we made it. The first one did well, so we had enough funding for a sequel. And this is Grub Dog here. And we also have with us Bill Orion.
Hey, how do you do?
Hi, Bill.
Hey, where's my applause?
Oh, yeah.
Woo! Yeah.
It's not for us to applause.
I'm clapping on the inside.
We also have Matto.
Hello.
Woo!
We also have Jeff, or Jaguelo.
What the fuck is that?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
What the fuck is
yeah,
that?
Jeff, what the fuck is that?
What the fuck is Deg? Man,
and also today, we got Infernal Monkey for the first time.
Ahoy there, internet.
Hey.
It's that Australian guy that makes those YouTube videos.
Animal Soccer World.
All those. The people keep, like, putting it, like, he put Animal Soccer World up and basically made a little mini YouTube meme forever.
Yep.
That's like 6 years ago and people are still fucking putting it up and saying, God damn, look at this thing.
I think Rolly is still out looking for, what game was that again?
Yeah, he's looking for Rayman.
He's still looking for Rayman. He's like, why is it out yet?
The game isn't out yet, but the Challengers app is. And let's start talking about the games we're playing.
Well, I think Rabical would be able to find like the game store if he was using something other than the iPhone and Apple Maps. So.
I'm sure.
All right, go
Sick
ahead.
Burn.
Since last episode, the game I've been playing most is Luigi's Mansion, which is it's so good. It's
which one? Because there's two now.
I'm going to say the one that came out this year.
It's
probably the best sequel ever made. It's just amazing how much effort they put into it. Compared to the first one, it just has so much more everything, more content, more multiplayer in the first place. It's like they didn't have to go through all that effort, but they did. And it's just, you can see it like in every room. It's just so much detail, like cool little animations and sound effects as well. I think the coolest thing about it is, like, they made Luigi so much more. It gave him more personality, like, Luigi, he's just so cute in this game.
Well, he's always had tons of personality, but I think next level games, yeah. I think they spent most of their effort, like, they're like, chats about like what they're gonna add into the game. They probably spent 60% of that time like deciding what kind of like things Luigi would do and the way he would react to certain things in the game. So
yeah, there's just like all sorts of cool little animations and just and the sound effects as well, like the voice like hey, just like all the
yeah.
all the little touches.
Not that again.
hey.
Mario.
No.
Hey.
I love how he like starts humming the background music if you leave him alone for a while.
Yeah, but he did that. Yeah, he did that in the original too. But yeah, like I'm still in the second mansion. I've been really busy and playing other games, so I'm gonna get to eventually. But what I've played so far is really awesome. The bosses are really clever. Just the areas themselves are really clever. I have two sort of negative things I just gotta talk about since Grub like talked about all the positives. Since there's like so many more positives, I'm just gonna talk about the negatives.
There are no negative things.
No. First, I don't really like the level based design. Like I really wish that you could like they designed it in a way that you could just explore the mansions like by like have it be a little bit more like Metroid Prime-ish, where like it's just all one big thing and you can go back to the mansions when you want and stuff.
And
I wish
made,
it was like that, but
it made collecting the gems quite hard when you have to find some in specific missions.
Right. So,
I think they actually did that just like based on being a handheld game, so.
Yeah, that's really why they did it. And if that was the case, then I really wish it was on Wii U, but I mean, it's still really good. That's just nitpicky. Yeah. And the second thing is, I know this is good, I'm gonna get some shit for this, but I feel like the multiplayer is good, but it's just very short-lived. Like, I feel like I've already played everything. Like, there's obviously still lots of different ghosts that we haven't fought, but you still kill all the ghosts. You still fight all the ghosts pretty much the same way. I mean,
well,
all
still haven't made it to the top floor.
No, well, of the, what, the 50 floor one, or that's the highest, floors. 25 one?
I think it's 25.
I don't know, it's a lot, I mean, so.
Right, your guys are done with the multiplayer before I ever get a copy, that's great.
Well, we'll play with you, Deg, once you get it.
Hey guys, we're playing Luigi's Mansion? Ah, fuck that shit, we're playing this Trine 2 game. Fuck with it.
I think what annoys me is that, like, there's, like, the three different modes of the game. There's, like, the hunter mode, where you're going around getting all the ghosts. There's the time mode, which is the most fun mode, because you're, like frantically running around the level looking for the exit of the level. And the level just, like...
Yeah, and if you make one mistake, then it ruins the whole thing.
You don't even have to make a mistake. The level design sometimes, like, will just fuck you over, like, if you're really unlucky. But and then there's a third one where it's, like, any, like... floor, and there's the poltergeist pup one, where you look for the poltergeist pups. Yeah. But, like, in all three modes, like, the final level is always the same, and that's... I feel like they should have done something differently, or, like, if in the speedrun one, they didn't have, like, the end boss level, because it's the same thing every time. Like, they didn't even change the bosses at the end of the levels, and I feel that that's sort of... I feel that was... sort of lazy, but maybe it's because they just sort of...
Probably a last-minute addition to the game.
That's probably what it was. I feel like multiplayer feels very... It feels like a demo, almost. I mean, it's a very fun demo. Like, I love the levels, but, like, the very final boss part feels really thrown in. But it's still really fun to play. The single player is excellent. I mean, the humor's excellent. The level design in the single player is excellent. I mean, it's just a very good game. You need to buy the game.
Next level games have certainly proven themselves, haven't they?
Right, yeah. I feel they are definitely with retro. Like, probably not on the technical side. There's still some little technical issues, but, like, on like from a game design point of view, I think they definitely have earned spot next to retro.
Technically, the graphics are amazing. I mean, some of the best stuff I've ever seen. Just the detail.
Well, I'm just talking about, like, issues with, like, frame rate and stuff like that. I'm just talking about
I had a lot of issues with the game crashing and getting stuck in objects and stuff like that.
That's weird. I've never had...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did it ever crash on a sound? Because that's really bad if you're playing a game. It's like, hey!
I wish it crashed on that sound.
Okay, is that everything on Luigi's Mansion?
Yeah, that's okay. Grubb's game that he was playing. Or became an impromptu review.
Yeah, what games have you guys been playing?
Okay,
I've been playing nothing because I've been writing my book. That's kind of it.
Egg's writing his book on life.
Yeah.
It's a secret to everyone except me.
Except, yeah, you saw a chapter of it and you were like, man, this is really good, but it also really sucks. We should fix this and fix that and fix this. And like, okay, well, okay.
I've turned into a real asshole lately, haven't I?
That's okay.
Yes,
okay.
You have.
I'd rather you be an asshole.
You're turning the table upside down.
You be an asshole to me here when I'm writing the book than some editor do it and reject me at the same time.
Yeah. But Matt's mad at me because I made fun of Space Harrier earlier. But the game, I've just been playing the same as I did last time. I played Monster Hunter. I got like over 110 hours on the game now. It's sort of ridiculous.
I didn't touch Monster Hunter, so I could play more little games.
But I mean, like, you should still get it, like, just so you can play with me in pro. I mean, it's fun. It's a lot of fun to play. And Matt, you need to join us too.
Okay.
I guess that's a game I'll be able to get.
Outside that, I've been playing Super Mario World, so just on the virtual console.
We played that old dinosaur piece of shit for.
How does that run on the game?
That's still better than anything Nintendo makes these days.
it was better when he made...
it runs really well, like on the system. The physics and, I don't know, it feels different than playing it on the Super Nintendo. I don't know if it's just because I haven't played it in a long time, it's just, I'm just forgetting the way it played, but I don't know, it just feels differently, and it took a while to, like, really, like, awesome. Get used to, like, my jumps and timing and stuff like that, but...
Back then, we didn't want to say anything about the physics of the game. You'd be like, man, this game's awesome.
Yeah, I know, and so I'm sort of looking at it from a really jaded angsty.
This doesn't use Havoc. What the fuck is that feather falling down? I've never seen a feather fall.
It's like, the game's letting me have fun. Where's the catch?
So
those goobers don't look right.
So that's mine. Who's next?
Okay. I've been playing Pandora's Tower when it got released.
I still need to get that.
Yeah. It's a more proper Castlevania than Mirror of Fate ever was. And that's the biggest compliment I can give the game. It's a lot of fun.
Now, really, the only thing that worries me, like, how are the glitches? Because I know that was something that was sort of brought up. There's a couple game-breaking bugs. Like something about, like, not being able to enter Towers 11 and 12 if you do something weird in 13 or something like that. I don't know.
Well, I haven't gotten that far yet.
Okay.
I've beaten the game and I didn't encounter that, but I also didn't encounter the glitches in Zombie U that people were complaining about. So.
Right, so...
Maybe I just don't break games.
You can make a zombie go up, like, an object into the air if you, like, intentionally back him into one. You might see it on a random playthrough, but it's not really anything to get, like, worked up over.
So,
yeah, but it's a lot of fun. It's kind of RPG-esque, but not as heavy RPG heavy as Last Story and Xenoblade.
Mm.
The other two,
more ARPG.
I don't think it was actually ever an RPG. I think people just kind of said it was because it was part of Operation Rainfall.
Well, like,
one's an RPG and the other's an RPG. We're not even going to look at that. Mathurbo must be an RPG. Let's start protesting. You know. Three RPGs.
The RPG aspect is there, but it's just not really a heavy part of the game. Like you
no,
can use weapons and stuff like that.
Basically, you would just have to use the chain and attack with the sword. Mm. The chain is really versatile. It's really fun to use.
Yeah, it's so much fun. Just like grab enemies, swing them around towards other enemies. You can chain two enemies together. It's just fun playing with a chain.
Yeah.
I think that's
the main
gameplay.
And the bosses so far I've countered are incredible.
Yeah, they're insane. They make use of everything you can do.
Yeah. The thing I'm most interested in is the relationship aspect of the game and sort of like the dating simulator part. I'm out of here.
How can it possibly have that? I mean, it's like you save her and she's like, oh, my hero, and that's kind of the end of the game. That's relationship simulator, I suppose.
Well, I mean, you have to give her gifts and stuff like that to, like, get her relationship up with Endy and stuff.
You don't have to.
Eat this. What is it? Just eat it.
Hey, I play Rune Factory, and I'm going to be getting the next Rune Factory. And I like that sort of aspect of games. It's fun.
Rune Factory is so good, like, at being Harvest Moon that I don't even know why they make regular Harvest Moon games anymore. Because
good question.
Everything Harvest Moon is, Rune Factory does and is better at it because it also has, like, more stuff to do than just grow fucking crops and shit.
Well, it's basically to sell off the name because Harvest Moon is a popular name, and then you have Rune Factory, which sold really well on its own. So they're like, okay, we can just sell this twice and just stop calling this Harvest Moon because Rune Factory, its original subtitle was
Fantasy Harvest Moon.
Right.
Yep.
So okay, that's a little bit of a tangent. So Bernie, you're last.
I have been playing a bunch of budget 3DS games I picked up, notably Cubic Ninja, which is like an early localization by Ubisoft.
Oh, I remember that.
I've seen about a billion copies of that.
Yeah, it's okay. It was like the big feature was you can use the tilt functions, which are absolute shit. But, if you dig through the options, you can find like a thing just to use a circle pad, and it plays fine with that. But I don't know, it feels a lot like they should have just delayed it and then released it on like the eShop later on, because it doesn't feel like it ever should have been a full-priced retail game.
Well, you forget that it's Ubisoft and they want money.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, the game bombed, so it didn't really work out.
Well, they thought they could trick people into buying it, being an early launch game.
You gotta at least hand it to Ubisoft for trying something different, even if it is different and bad.
I don't know. I still have a grudge against them for Rayman, so I'm not giving them any quarter for right now.
I've forgiven them after the Rayman challenges app. That is so much fun.
It is fun, but I'd rather have it be a part of the game that was released in February instead of, you know, them
yeah,
just kind of...
It does make it a bit more painful to wait for the game because just of how good it is.
At the very least, it's like a 3 month long advertisement for Rayman Legends on the Wii U. And yet, it's the other guys aren't going to have that. I don't know how they're going to do Murphy's Dungeon with it, because that's a really cool part of the game. And I don't know, like, what are they going to do? Have, like, a polygon? Awesome. Like, have him be controlled with the control stick? And that's always kind of shitty, really.
Well, I'm worried that they're going to take those parts out. That's what I'm worried about.
That is a concern.
No, they'll just change it up. They'll put Kinect in the Xbox version and Move in the PS3 version.
Oh, God. Okay. We sort of get...
could work, I guess. Kinect would be like, you just much slap at the screen, you'll get a high score.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, you need a touchscreen. You have to press the things so fast in these challenges.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It reminds me of Yoshi Touch and Go on DS.
Which
I had a lot of fun getting high scores for that game.
Best game.
I remember when, like, all, like, the major game media outlets were, like, talking about, like, oh my god, this isn't a game!
It's a game because it doesn't have a story. Sure. And it's not
really I beat it 5 minutes!
Who gives a shit about high scores? Check out my achievements!
I know, goddamn. Okay, we keep on getting off on tangents. Are there any other games besides Cubic Knight?
Need for Speed the Run. Which is another, it's like, really surprised me, because I thought it'd be, you know, pretty average, but it was developed by the guys who made V8 Supercars on DS, which is, like, a really good racing game.
Also Trackmania on Wii.
Yeah. The Run was supposed to be, like, a really bad game on the 360 and PS3, but it's completely different on the 3DS. It feels pretty much like Burnout 2.
Maybe they should have advertised it.
Maybe. Yeah, that was an early effort by EA on the 3DS before they completely abandoned Nintendo in general.
Yeah.
No, I think they stuck around for a while, but, I mean, you're right. After the 3DS, I mean, their initial was like, whoa, you're telling me multiplayer-less Madden won't sell on the 3DS? Like, they expected people to buy a single-player football game. And like,
I do like how...
And all that. I mean, they basically put in a bunch of shit. It didn't sell because it was shit. And they're like, well, looks like we... There was a Twitter guy named Patrick Skerritt. He basically said that that EA did not find third-party success, in air quotes, on the 3DS. And everybody was kind of like, no, they didn't find success. Third parties are doing really well on the 3DS. Just because EA didn't sell very well doesn't mean that third parties, you know... So when one fails, apparently EA is every third party. So yeah, I mean, you know, they made a bunch of shit. Nobody bought it. They blame the consumer for, you know, buying Street Fighter 4 instead of My Garden. No, they canceled that shit. Even they thought that.
My Garden.
No, their big 3DS launch game was like Sims 3 or something like that. Like a really bad one.
Sims game, oh yeah. That was absolute shit. Oh my god, like, remember, like, there's the pictures, I'm remembering it, like, the initial pictures of Sims 3 for 3DS, people are, like, lambasting them because, like, the water was, like, a single, like, blue, like, texture. And, like, it just looked terrible. Oh my god, I'm having flashbacks now.
Like, sizzle reel footage of upcoming 3DS games. They had all these really good games, and it showed, like, Sims 3, and it was running, like, 5 frames a second.
Yeah, and the graphics were terrible, and...
Yeah.
Are you referring to this image? I know this is a podcast and no one can see it, but I'll post it anyway. Are you referring to that?
Yes. That's exactly what I'm referring to. God.
Like, okay, listeners, just imagine a big pile of shit. That was the image. Just linked to.
A big blue
piece. It's a steaming turd. It even has steam coming out of the top.
Yeah, it's some college hipster playing an acoustic guitar trying to get in some girl's pants, and behind him is a pool of water that is basically just a flat blue color. It's not.
It actually looks like the sky in the ground. Like,
yeah.
It reminds me of an N64 game.
That's an insult to N64.
No, yeah, I mean, even Deadly Premonition, the game had shitty graphics and even had flat blue textures. For the water, at least had some texture to the water. That's just like bucket tool, you know. That's on Photoshop.
Well, this is just an example of what EA does. Like, they just kind of show up to make the numbers, like, just so they can say, "Oh, The Sims 3 was at launch."
We were there to support the thing at launch. Blah blah blah.
All right. So does that cover all the games?
Yeah.
All right. So I guess
I'm playing Silent Hill Shattered Memories, but I'm not really.
No.
Like watching YouTube.
Dave, you lied about it.
Well, I played it like 3 days ago. I'm not really playing it. I'm still writing. So.
He's watching the title screen.
The game is actually a sanity effect. He thinks he's playing a game, but not.
Yeah.
So talking about sanity effects, I guess is a good way to segue into some third-party chatter. I mean, there's been tons of random bullshit that third parties have been talking about. So we can start off with not Eternal Darkness 2 by Precursor Games. The Remnants of Silicon Knights what is that? Shadows of the Eternal, I guess. Eternal, not Darkness 2.
Yeah.
The teaser trailer that they showed was, I felt, it was decent looking, but it's also sort of sketchy because, like, there's only, what, like 9 people in the dev team? There's absolutely no way they could have done that teaser with just 9 people. Especially in such a short amount of time. They probably said, okay, copy, paste from, like, the work that they, like, had already done on the game when it was called Eternal Darkness 2, over at Silicon Knights, so.
Yeah. I think it just shows effort, like they're trying to just make it a thing, and maybe other people will get involved, but
I'm hoping,
I can't blame people for being skeptical based on Silicon Knights
and
doing
DAC.
Crowdfunding crowdfunding is not a good idea for someone who, especially when you take a figurehead who has been lambasted a shit ton over these past, like, for the past 5 years, ever since Two Humans.
Yeah. When that guy asked you for money.
Yeah, and he basically poked the Gaff Beast, and the Gaff Beast bit back.
I mean, there's, like, other stupid things that he's done, like not putting, like, a suing amount when he sued Epic. I mean, like, they put a sue amount of, like, $1. I mean, so if they won, they would get $1. It's like...
Every dollar counts.
Yeah, I mean, they're basically suing
fully
as a matter of pride.
Two Human Two.
It just showed how, like, poorly managed, like, the company was, and how, like, poorly planned the lawsuit was. They didn't put down, like, how much money, like, their, like, claim was for, like, the suit, which is, like, the first thing you do. I mean, they didn't have that. What the fuck?
Yeah, you start it with how much did they fuck us out of, and then you try to sue for that amount. You know, just like, we're going to sue you for how much? I don't know, but you're going to court.
Shame you. But the teaser itself, I mean, it's basically Eternal Darkness 2. I mean, just like all, like, the sand effects are there. The same church is there. Well, it was short, so they showed, like, a cutscene that is essentially a sanity effect. But
sanity effects have to be randomly occurring.
Right, you know what I mean.
Well,
it was a teaser.
That's not a sanity.
It was a teaser, but like it was like the church was the same type of thing. It was in the the setting was Charlemagne, which is exactly the same as Eternal Darkness. Things that I noted was that Eternal Darkness had some of the best voice acting, like, in any game, at least personally for me.
Yeah, they used the Metal Gear Solid dudes. So.
The voice acting in the teaser trailer was iffy. I mean, the knight was okay. The two women at the beginning were fucking terrible. Like,
isn't that the kind of thing you'd get at the end of a project?
You need to at least put effort into it. If you're, like, saying, like, this is what you're using something to, like, try and convince people to support your project, you need to have the effort there. You can't just say, "Oh, I'm gonna just toss this out," because the people who are gonna be funding it don't think about that. They're just looking at
first. That's the thing about these projects. Like, they show intentions, and it's just, like, all up in the air from then on. But I think the good thing is, like, they haven't completely changed it. Like, they haven't just thrown a dude bro guy in with guns and stuff.
Right, yeah. But, I mean...
But they did with the original Eternal Darkness. It was just a later chapter.
Right. I mean, it's...
Sort of, yeah.
So, best case scenario would be the crowdfunding fails, but Nintendo, in their good heart nature, like, decide to pick up the game.
Make it Eternal Darkness too.
But... Well, that chance, I feel if that was going to happen, it would have happened earlier. So the chance of that happening is probably very slim.
It's still a chance.
Nintendo seemed to get their ass kicked whenever they try and lend a sympathetic hand to a project.
Yeah, oh my god. When Nintendo extends their hand in friendship, you'll see a lot of scars and bite marks and burns and shit. Yeah. So at some point you'll think maybe we shouldn't stick a hand out this time, you know?
So good luck, Dyak, but I don't know. I don't have high hopes at the moment.
No, it's actually not that Dyak is involved that's making me a little sketchy about it. You know, he may have been a catastrophic douche like for 6 years straight, but I believe in redemption. He could make a good game if he puts all that bullshit behind him, leaves that in the, lets the trolls. You know, he could probably redeem himself. He could convert, so to speak.
My
problem is the lack of Nintendo's presence, because I think if you look at the quality of Two Human and especially X-Men, you know that Nintendo was very much involved in a lot of Eternal Darkness.
They were. That's the reason why Eternal Darkness was so good.
And why Two Human was so bad.
Well, Two Human was bad. X-Men was garbage.
Yeah.
You ought to go look up the thing about X-Men. I mean, they fired so many programmers but didn't credit them. So there's this giant special thanks list, and the credits is 140 names long.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like it is sort of DX's fault because he's had so much negative press and he's the center. He's like the key figure. The key figure, like, showing the project. I mean, you need to have good faith. Like, you need to have a good reputation before you start promoting a new product. I mean, because most of the people that know about the product, they know Eternal Darkness, know what the hell Silicon Knights has been doing and what crap they've done. So they're fans that, like, Dick keeps on referring to as fans. I don't know how many fans he has left, but...
The only fans he has left are people who are fans of Eternal Darkness and don't want him to fuck it up.
Right, so...
Three.
I don't know. Yeah, three.
Well,
I'm sure there's more than that, but...
If I may give a very accurate number, I would say that it's about...
Hey, you're looking up sales figures, aren't you?
I'm looking up. He has exactly 2,042 fans, because that's how many people have donated to that project.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Well, actually, there are some GAF mods that donated. They don't really like him that much.
Guys.
Oh.
Just going to have to cut off for a second. You hear that phone call?
Yeah, g'day guys, my name's Mark. Oh, I just streaked past this guy and I want to find out what game he's playing, because all these question marks popped up on the screen. Looks Japanese and there's this weird symbol on it. I think it might be an unannounced game.
Whoa, slow down, Mark. An unannounced game? Where are you right now?
Oh, I'm just at Fairlands Pub in Wollongonga. Yeah.
What are you doing there? Is that where you go for street passes?
Oh, I've been playing Lego City on my 3DS, so I thought I'd just get to. It's an awesome game, guys. You gotta play it. You gotta review it. It's bloody good. And I'm just trying to immerse myself in the character of the game. And here I am undercover. I'm looking for clues, looking for street passes, you know? This is the place to go.
The place to go? So you normally get a lot of street passes there in Wollongonga?
Oh, yeah, you bet. I've got street passes coming out of my ass. Oh, that's it. Fill her up. Well, there's all sorts of jokers here, mate. Where do I start? I caught one clown playing with his bloody system settings. What's he doing? The system's been out for a couple of years now, mate. Still haven't bloody set it up properly. What's taking you so long? Don't look at me like that. That's my look.
Mark. 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 Oh, God. Mark. Mark, are you there?
Straight past that.
A little unnecessary.
Oh, yeah, anyway, so I street passed this guy, right, and it's a Japanese title, but I don't recognize the picture. Looks a bit like a Pokemon, but it's not. It's this cute little fluffy thing. I can't tell what it is. I think it's a brand new character.
Wait, why would a guy in a pub be playing a secret game? Are you sure you don't recognize it? A cute fluffy thing could be a lot of different things.
Yeah, I don't know. His face, though, he's me. He looks a bit like Miyamoto, you know?
Miyamoto?
I reckon it's him. I reckon it's a secret game.
Wait, what's going on over there?
Oh, shit. Gotta bounce.
And now a word from our sponsors. My body is ready. 12 months of bodily readiness. The calendar you've been waiting for. The one and only Reggie Fils-Aimé is aiming his body in your direction. See Reggie in 12 different suggestive poses. Coming soon to Club Nintendo. Is your body ready?
You will say, wow.
I feel a little uncomfortable. I might have to leave.
I'm a little turned on.
Yeah.
I'm spent.
And the temperature just rose in the Pi studio.
Okay, so going back to what we were talking about, we finished up talking about DX, so yeah, good luck to him. I hope the project works, but we'll see.
Actually, I don't. I hope whatever. Nintendo gets it and makes a fucking good game, because this isn't going to be a good game if it's just them and 9 people.
Next, DICE's recent comments about how Frostbite 3 it didn't work on Wii U. Basically, I've already mentioned this several times to the rest of the Patriots, but I'm going to say it again to the rest of you guys, is this makes 3 different scenarios. One, the Frostbite engine is a terrible piece of shit that is very inefficient and can't be reworked to work on other systems. 2, DICE is incompetent and they should all be fired. Or 3, the DICE guy is a fucking liar and EA is just being a little whiny bitch that took their ball and went home. I probably would go with number 3 on this one. So
same with me, whatever. Number 3.
And then there's also Avalanche, the makers of Just Cause, who are saying they can't get a hold of Nintendo. Yet Precursor, this little 9 person group, how did they get a hold of them, but Avalanche can't? So I feel it's very hard to get a hold of Nintendo if you're not really trying. You have to pick up phone.
There's just no motivation for them, so they just kind of sit there and hope that Nintendo make the game for them.
Or Nintendo has to call them because, entitlement. So that's my feeling on that. So.
Well, then there are some people that would say Nintendo should be calling up every third party they can. But remember that we're only getting one half of the conversation. They could basically say whatever they want. And since it fits the narrative of Nintendo being clumsy with third parties, they could have called up. Nintendo could have said, well, have you got a game? And they're like, well, no. And they're like, well, why are you calling us? Well, so, we were hoping to get a grant. They're like, well, we can't fund every goddamn third party thing in the world. You're just going to have to take a number. Okay. So they get a little pissed off and they hang up the phone and huff and think they can get a little, press for their next game by slamming Nintendo. Maybe. Mm.
With the Avalanche guys, they even had Wii U development kits, and it's I don't know what more they expected if they wanted a button on the development kit that just made the game for them.
Are they developing an engine that does that? Because that's what all the other guys are doing. They basically make an engine, and then they I'm going to hit a button that'll randomize the textures so it kind of looks like Gears of Army of Two or all that. Mm. So it'll just fart it out. $60 game coming March next year.
I'm fine with them just not caring about Nintendo consoles, but when they just make stuff up to kind of justify it.
Yeah,
EA with the Frostbite engine, when has a bad engine ever stopped EA from releasing a game?
Exactly. It's just admit that you are they don't even have to say that they have a grudge against Nintendo for not using Origin. They can just say, we just don't want to make Nintendo games right now.
Yeah, they could say that. they'd look fucking stupid, but it'd be the truth.
Right. So, whatever.
Yeah, also, the whole Frostbite thing, there are people saying, it's CPU intensive, and that's bullshit, because, CryEngine is CPU intensive, and it runs fine on the Wii U, and these guys are ours is just that much better. No, it's not. You probably reverse engineered Unreal Engine 3, just like everybody else.
All the
games they make with it suck, so, I don't know why. You played Medal of Honor Warfighter? Not many other people did. It uses Frostbite and it's terrible.
Yeah.
That game had so many glitches. There was a patch on day one that fixed about 100 things.
Mm. Oh, God.
I remember that, yeah.
No,
just a
God.
Massive fix list.
And you're just walking through, it's just like all the other fucking Call of Duty clones, you're kind of walking in a straight line, somebody pops out and like, holy shit, there's a guy, you shoot him, and that's basically the whole game.
And then you stop for 10 seconds and just watch a really cool explosion.
Yeah, and it's like, oh my god, this is like a four-man light gun shooter. It's like these games have replaced the 90s blockbuster Hollywood movies that they used to make before comic books took over.
Mm.
That's also what happens when they bank so much on an engine. It's like, hey guys, look at the graphics, look at this engine, we're making an awesome game with this engine. And it's kind of just like the engine, and like there's no actual game.
Yeah, they got nothing else to go on.
It's like, look at this.
Every third-person shooter that isn't Gears of War is basically just Gears of War, but this time there's Russians or something, I don't know.
Mm.
Or zombies.
Zombies.
Okay. So I guess
that's next topic is...
Square Enix, is that next?
Yes.
It is now.
Yeah.
Which Square Enix? You talk about the RPG makers or the Europeans?
hard to tell these days.
This is Matt's topic. I don't know what specifically you wanted to talk about them. I mean, there's nothing positive.
There is nothing positive because they're fucking...
I'm happy that Bravely Default is coming out, but I don't think I can thank Square Enix for that.
Yeah, thanks Nintendo.
Yeah.
Nintendo's doing that. Why can't Square Enix? Well, they're instead making iOS games.
I'm trying not to, like, rage out on the internet.
So hard, though.
I think the problem with Square Enix is just they just don't have anybody working in America or Europe. They kind of just, like, have, like, three guys in an office just kind of tweeting. I don't know what they do if they don't localize games.
Oh my God.
They've become too dependent on Nintendo to do pretty much everything for them now.
Yes, see, that's an example of Nintendo getting bitten for localizing all the previous Dragon Quests on DS.
Well, this happens this happens with every third party, though. Like, you see, like, all the ports and all, like, their, like, big games sell on Nintendo systems, yet they use those profits to fund, like, their big bombs and shit stains. So, yeah. I mean, it's no different with Square Enix, where they get Nintendo to do all the work for their RPGs, but they're going to put all their effort they can into localizing Final Fantasy XIV because they didn't make it right they didn't make it right the first time, so we have to put in tons of money to fix the game to make it playable.
That's already a bad idea. I mean, it already came out, and it sucked. So people are like, Final Fantasy XIV sucks. That's you put it in like Google, it'll autocomplete. Final Fantasy XIV sucks. So they're putting millions and millions of dollars into revamping and remaking a game people already associate with garbage. No, so even if they release it and have a giant marketing campaign, they'll be like, oh, Final Fantasy XIV, that's the game that sucks. So they're not going to go out and buy it.
Yeah, they're going to have a rude awakening for that. And I really feel that if there's any big developer that will die this upcoming generation, Square Enix will be the first one. Like, I just have a bad feeling about them. Like, I don't think they...
Well, they basically they've got Dragon Quest VII just kind of sitting there waiting to be localized that'll sell a million...
Like, yeah.
What are they waiting for?
They're waiting for an iOS port.
I mean, or at least, say, if they're working on it, then why not just, say that they're doing it? I mean, they announced Final Fantasy...
Because they're not working on it.
They announced Final Fantasy XIII-3 before, it was even, just it was announced. It was like, oh, yeah, we're localizing it, too. It's like, why can't you do that for your other fucking games? I mean, why you have to do that for fucking Final Fantasy XIII-3 that no one wants?
I mean, didn't Dragon Quest VII in Japan, didn't it sell, what, 1.2 million units? Isn't that enough to fund, a little bit of the localization? I mean, isn't that profit for you guys?
Nope.
Yeah, and it's
not
an
iOS game.
Oh, God. Yeah, all the bravest,
Wouldn't be surprised if they
World ends with you, iOS.
We'll put Bravely Default on iOS after Nintendo's on the localization for them.
Yeah, I know. I would not be surprised.
Well, as long as I get the game on 3DS, they can do whatever they want.
No, that'll be bullshit, and Nintendo better call them out on that, because since Nintendo's doing the localization, they better not think they can steal it and put it on iOS.
Yeah, that's probably the good thing about Nintendo doing it, is that it won't, it'll be exclusive. Not that it really matters, but it means they'll be able to focus on one version.
And you can help Razor's Edge when Nintendo helped.
Oh, God.
And Nintendo helped, and then they're like, yeah, we'll take that. And I'm like, but thankfully, it flopped too. So, I mean, the second go-around didn't sell as much as the first. So, and I mean, that's usually you call that a patch, but they sold it as a disc. So, but the second thing is Nintendo does great locally. They're probably still the best in the business. And even when they farm it out to, what was it, 8.4 or whatever?
Yes.
They're great too. So, you know.
But I mean, Nintendo also have their own games to kind of think about. I mean, they're pretty busy.
Yeah.
Without Square Enix kind of nudging them in the shoulder.
I know. Like, Nintendo can't be forced to be doing everyone else's games. I mean, fucking do some work.
Yeah,
that's my only issue summed up. Like, Square Enix should be held accountable for their own games and
that's what
release
I
Dragon Quest VII and I'll buy it.
I don't understand why third parties don't like Nintendo. Nintendo will fucking bend over backwards to help some of these guys. They will send their own development staff over. They will localize and market your game for you, and when it fails, you can blame them because they're the ones who published it. And everybody's like, this is a toxic relationship we're having. It's like, no, it's not. It's the greatest relationship ever, because you know Microsoft doesn't give two cherry fucks about your game if it fails. Because they don't even have their own. They just have, you know, the Xbox Live community and all that. They have a bunch of guys who will buy Skyrim and say something about arrows and knees forever. If your game fucking tanks, nobody will be there for you. Same with Sony, really, except for, like, some of the indies. They're doing stuff with indies now, so.
Yeah, I don't know why, when that started, or why.
I think it might be the same thing Nintendo's doing, in that the big Western third parties might be ready to cut the Japanese off. So they see that the giant publishers, in fact, you could just do this as a contingency plan, but the giant publishers are going to fall. You know, because they're just getting too bloated. I mean, EA's got so much invested in Frostbite games that if they all flop, they're fucked.
Yep.
I mean, they're making BioWare make the next Mass Effect games in Frostbite, even though they've been making an Unreal Engine before, you know. So they're having to adapt to a new engine, and when they flop, which they might because everybody doesn't like Mass Effect 3, it's basically dead, you know, when that kind of stuff flops, it will tear a new asshole into the company itself, simply because they have to get adapted. And it's also going to be bad news for Epic, since they no longer have EA as a customer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, summary, Square Enix's best games are the ones that Nintendo does for them.
Yeah. Oh, shit, I forgot the conclusion of that.
On to a different topic.
One second.
No, Dave. Go down, and they invest in smaller third parties that will replace them in the future. That's it.
Yep. Where's Terranigma?
Where's
Earthbound? Oh, wait, there it is.
Yeah.
Where's Vegas Stakes, you assholes? I love Vegas Stakes. I only just learned it actually is on the console, so I've been whining for nothing.
All right, you know what time it is, guys?
What?
It's a lot of time! Yeah!
that's a topic I was going to introduce before Square Enix.
All I know is the shit CEO is the worst thing ever. He's absolutely terrible.
Please understand, it's a lot of time.
So you can go ahead.
Grub. Yeah, his new position in Nintendo America. I'm not sure what it means exactly, but I like the intention that he's kind of going over there just to overlook things and make sure, like, there's communication between the Nintendo branches. And I think that's what I love about Iwata. He's always kind of reaching out and just saying, supporting things, positive attitude, and now he's gone to Nintendo America. And hopefully it results in good things, but it's hard to say, but
I think it's
a positive sign.
I have two different views on this. The first of which is, I'm hoping that with Iwata stepping into Nintendo of America, he's gonna like focus a little bit more on like realizing like that we want like some of these games that like we had issues trying to get localized initially. So I hope he focuses more on that, tries to get more of these like more niche titles localized, so we don't have lots of drama with like Operation Rainfall, etc. The second thing is I really sort of see this as like a big giant troll face from Iwata at like NeoGAF, and like the media like was saying like Iwata says he's gonna retire, like he's gonna like if like and then like he's like he's like retire more like become president of two companies now. So it's like
the one thing that seemed impossible for Iwata was getting a promotion.
You should understand that the guy that was the CEO of Nintendo of America was this guy named Tatsuya Kimishima or something.
Yeah.
And he was kind of just there to, like, make a seat warm. I'm not saying it did nothing, but it was basically like, yeah, well, Iwata said this, so Reggie, make it American or something. I don't know.
Yeah. You never heard from the guy. I never even heard of the guy ever, so.
Best job in the world, I swear. It was like the DS that we were selling. I was like, man, I'm getting paid a lot of money. I'm not really doing anything. This is great. Reggie's doing all the public stuff. I just sit at this desk. It's really comfy.
So yeah, like I'm really excited to see more of Iwata in the upcoming weeks with the Nintendo Directs. So I guess
my favorite thing about Iwata is just how easy he makes it look, like in Nintendo Direct when he does all these skits and laughs and jokes and stuff, but
he has really a personality.
It works incredibly hard and just kind of shrugs it off. I think that's
if you read the
definition
internet,
of a professional.
Mm-hmm.
If you looked at the internet, you think he's like the worst CEO ever to be of the CEO of a company, just because I don't know, Nintendo posted a loss like last year, not even this year, but just last year, you know.
Mm-hmm, right.
Yeah, it's like everyone forgot about the Wii and the DS being like the most successful systems of all time.
Yeah,
just focusing on like the last year.
They made something like $19 billion in like 3 years for Nintendo, and everybody's like, "Well, that's just a fluke. He's suffering now. He sucks." That was your Mouchy.
Well, my problem with people who don't like Iwata is they want him to be an asshole. Like they want him to just kind of flip shit over and buy studios left and right and just become
that. Yeah,
EA.
How that works?
Like, why should Nintendo become that? Why doesn't EA become like Nintendo?
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of that, EA, when we talk about Nintendo and EA, it certainly shows a go the narrative that has been set when talking about Nintendo, where EA is like a company that has been voted like the worst in the world by the consumerist poll, and everybody hates EA. They hate Origin. They hate Medal of Honor. They don't really like Battlefield that much. Everything they make today is shit. Bullshit. Yeah,
Deg.
I know.
Deg, it's not EA time. It's Iwata time. But it is Iwata time.
But when EA thumbs Nintendo off, they will look at Nintendo as being somehow incompetent because they lost the support of a company everybody fucking hates to begin with.
Yeah.
And they'll want Iwata.
Iwata's a dreamboat.
They'll want Iwata to try to reason with guys that seem to just hate them for no reason.
I think that's another strength of Iwata, how the EA partnership, how he kind of didn't let them walk all over Nintendo's online system.
Mm-hmm.
How he said, we're not going to let you do that.
He would have lost
that's the strength
all the
of
other
his, that,
Yeah, he would have lost every really other show. Party. So, I mean, you have to take
yeah, it would have made
sacrifices
the experience
to
consumers
to,
as well. So.
Imagine if he did choose Origin and all the other third parties left. What would people be saying about Iwata then? They'd be saying, well, you lost all the third parties. I'm like, huh.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, Iwata he's awesome. And I hope he continues to be the president for years to come.
At least two.
My favorite president.
He's so awesome.
Oh.
Oh.
Cola.
Another one of these.
I don't want it. I'm not answering it. I don't want to answer any more calls. Hello, caller. You're on Pi Radio.
Hi there, Patriots. I'm calling in as an anonymous director at SCE Santa Monica Studio. Just had a quick question for you guys.
Okay. Hello there, anonymous director at SCE Santa Monica Studio. Not really that anonymous when you say where you work, but whatever. I never expected a Sony developer to call in. What's your question?
Well, just to provide a little background information in case you and your viewers are unaware, but we are responsible for the PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale DLC.
Yeah, we remember all those characters from classic Sony franchises like Gravity Rush, Dead Space, God of War, and Starhawk.
I'll have you know that Starhawk is a very memorable game in Sony's legacy.
How is Emmett memorable?
Is who what now?
Emmett. Emmett Graves.
Who the hell is that?
That's the protagonist of Starhawk.
Oh. Oh, yeah. I knew that. But anyway, we're in a real bind. If you remember, the first game essentially killed Superbot, and I'm afraid that if the sequel doesn't sell millions, we're fucked. So, could you give us some ideas that can beat against Smash Brothers?
Okay, sure, I guess we can do that. Do you have a pen and paper ready?
Yeah, I have one right here.
Okay, number one on the list.
Okay, number one.
Pokemon.
Fantastic, great start. Pokemon. Oh, you fucking bastard.
Okay, but seriously, if you're going to make a true rival to Smash Brothers, you need characters that aren't just used to advertise for current-gen games. Where's Lemmings? Where's Jumping Flash? Where's Crash Bandicoot and Spyro? Whose idea was it to pick Emmett and Isaac over the two mascots that defined Sony as a game company? It wasn't yours, was it?
Whoa, hold on there. That's not entirely our fault. We were just following what our focus groups wanted.
Okay, just who exactly made up this focus group?
Our marketing department.
Okay, I've heard enough. Later, dude.
Wait, I still need more ideas.
And now a word from our sponsors.
Are you bored?
Yeah.
Really bored?
Yeah.
Really, really bored?
I said, yeah, you fucking asshole.
Not anymore. With Microsoft Xbox Ultimate Smash Dude Bros Extreme!
Wow!
In this epic, innovative, cinematic, and not at all ripped off, soon-to-be classic party free-for-all, play as all your favorite iconic Microsoft game characters like Master Chief.
Yes!
Marcus Curtis from Gears of War.
Awesome!
Conker!
Fuck yeah!
Blinks the Cat.
Radical.
Alan Wake.
Okay.
Azeric.
Who?
And Master Chief.
Wait, didn't you already say?
But it doesn't end there. This melee, fight to the death, has also invited special third-party guest star, Dancing Stormtrooper from Star Wars Kinect.
Wait, what? No!
In-stores this holiday for the Xbox 360 and next-generation Xbox game system. Cross-compatibility non-existent. Product not yet ready. Bribe money to select gaming media currently pending.
Oh, man. I can't wait to play his Dancing Stormtrooper. Star Wars Kinect.
Oh.
And we know Deg's favorite song, the Han Solo song.
Yeah, it's basically going to troll anybody with. I don't even have to sing it to my brother. I just kind of do the little dumb move. He just starts getting angry because he knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Okay, so our next topic is all E3 stuff. The first thing is Nintendo skipping E3, like in quotation marks, since they're not really skipping E3. They've just decided against the big media presentation, have decided to skip, Nintendo yes. Directs.
Which ironically has given them more media coverage.
Exactly. I mean, like, people are like, oh my god, they're skipping E3, oh, we need the big giant presentation and stuff like that. But, I mean, the last Nintendo Direct we had that had, like, X and, like, it was just, and the Yoshi Yarn and, like, the Fire Emblem Shin Megami Tensei game, like, that was an amazing Nintendo Direct, and it felt just like an E3 conference, really, to me.
Yeah. I think the good thing about this is, it's going to bring more people to Nintendo Direct.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's kind of going to benefit them throughout the entire year.
Right.
Because people will be there at E3 and they'll say, where's Nintendo? And like, oh, Nintendo Direct, okay. And then so in the future we'll have more people tuning into Nintendo Direct.
Okay.
I think the problem with big shows is that there's an adage you have in like college football or something, but basically having a big presentation is like throwing a pass, and only one of three things can happen, only one of which is good. You know, where the guy receives the ball and runs it into the end zone. Mm-hmm. The other times are if he drops or it gets intercepted.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the things people don't like about E3 happen at some of these big press conferences. Like, I don't know, Usher just showing up and they talk about Wonderbook
yeah.
for 30 minutes. And that's,
you never know, Usher could show up in Nintendo Direct.
That, at least we'll be able to skip it if we want to. But, but you know, the Ravi drums from the Wii Music thing, $599 US. All the worst parts about E3 are at these presentations. So Nintendo's just thinking, you know, these presentations don't really benefit us or our customers, but they can hurt us. So they're just saying, well, we should just do it more focused, direct. And if we have a crummy part that's hard to watch, well, then we'll just have it be skipped. And we'll also won't be seeing a lot of, you know, dry PowerPoint presentations of how much the 3DS sold. And
all right,
that. Oh, yeah.
That's
true. There's going to be no sales talk to consumers at all.
And there's also, like, the talk about, like, mistakes, like the, like, remember the Skyward Sword presentation, like, because of all the interference, like, it, like, they couldn't get the thing to work. So, like, yeah. That came off sort of sour there.
Everybody with their cell phones and
right.
Sweaty palms.
Yeah.
So, like, I have a little poll for all of us. Like, I just think it's sort of interesting, like, thinking about how, like, Nintendo's going to handle the Nintendo Directs. Like, which would you guys rather have? I mean, like, there's, like, two different ways they can do it. They could have one or two big Nintendo Directs, like, one for the Wii U and one for the 3DS, or would you rather have them sort of, like, spread it out over the course of E3 and have, like, having new reveals, like, every day leading up to E3 or, like, during E3? I mean,
during E3 is good because, I mean, you want to talk about E3, disrupting disrupting the other guy's momentum.
I'd rather have...
look at it competitively.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather have just one big conference for Wii U. Well, one big direct for Wii U, just so there's like one kind of event to look forward to and get excited about, rather than like scattered all over the place without really knowing when to get your body ready. One for 3DS, one for Wii U. I think that'd be perfect because you can just kind of get excited about
like secret announcements and stuff.
I feel like I could go for either way. I mean, both would be fine with me. I just thought it would be I'm just really interested to see how Nintendo does it. I mean, it'd be interesting to see in the upcoming weeks.
I think they should have a goodly sized one for both and then have ones they do during E3, particularly like Pro said, during the other guy's conference at a competitive standpoint.
All right.
So it's like, holy shit, the new Smash Brothers trailer. I don't give a shit about Killzone. Check this shit out. Another thing about big conferences is the worry that mass media won't cover it. Mm-hmm. You know, like they won't. The thing is, they actually are having a conference for like Western media. They're just not having this big bombastic screens
firing,
and actors
with fireworks and
fireworks. Yeah, that's not what this should be about. You know, became.
I mean,
like
I do
that.
Like those live presentations just because of the funny moments and stuff, but. I think with Nintendo Direct, they can also be more creative, just by... They could be making skits for it right now. And
also because of the scope of...
appeals
Nintendo
to their strengths as a company.
Mm.
The scope of Nintendo Directs allows them to actually have, like, announcing Earthbound for Virtual Console as an announcement worthy of being part of a Nintendo Direct, Nintendo Direct where it would be really awkward and out of place at a big conference with a lot of West media, like, what the fuck's Earthbound? I don't know about this shit. That's not a first-person shooter. That game looks like shit. You
know? And with, like, Nintendo Direct, Iwata can, like, come out of a warp pipe or something, which would cost a lot of money on the stage.
What engine is Earthbound using? You know, just...
But, like, I brought this up because, like, it's been, like, they've already, like, said, like one of the marketing guys said that there will be Nintendo Directs this month leading up to E3. So it'll be interesting to see if they're going to, like...
more than before E3.
Yes, they were saying there's going to be at least one Nintendo Direct.
My body isn't ready.
So they I'm wondering if, like, they might just, like, just show new footage of games we already know about and have a separate one just for new announcements. So it'll be very interesting to see.
Next topic.
I guess since we've talked about Nintendo this much, we can talk about like the better upcoming systems, the PS4 and the 720, or the Fusion, or the whatever Microsoft, the Durango.
Durango.
So we've already
it's hard to say much about the Xbox because all we really have are rumors. And they're all bad.
Right, online.
I guess we'll find that out in the next two weeks.
Microsoft had some kind of confirmation, I'm putting in air quotes, that the Durango, I don't know if they'd want to talk about it as a code name, will be able to play single-player games online. I think it will have the ability to, but the
fact it'll have single player games.
Well, that's the thing. Think of it kind of like it will have the ability to do that should third parties choose to allow that to happen. And I'm thinking, oh, EA is going to keep saying, well, we need to be online. Just, like, you know, Diablo 4 is going to be on it. It already requires you to be online on the PC. They're not going to change that just for the fucking PS4, you know? And I don't think that game's going to sell well anyway. I mean, anybody that wants Diablo 3 has a computer and will play it on the computer.
Right.
Yeah. I sort of like what I've seen of PS4 so far. I mean, none of the games really appeal to me yet, but I just like how open they are with the system.
Yeah, they've got the right attitude development so far.
Well, the attitude they have
compared
is
to Microsoft, who are just kind of acting like it's one big secret, like they're going to release a new game console.
Right.
They act like Nintendo did, like with the N64 and of course, everybody's liking Microsoft doing it because obviously they've got the fierce mega power, but they're kind of locking out some developers even talking about it. And like they're just keeping it all one big secret. And if it doesn't like blow the asshole off of the PS4, people are like, you kept this secret for this? You know?
I mean, like, I don't know, like it's sort of weird, like, you have these two companies that, like, are playing things, sort of differently. You have Microsoft being so super secret, and then you have Sony who's, like, revealing everything, but they're playing it so stupidly safe. Like, it's just PS3 Plus so far. I mean, it's just, you have your Infamous game, you have your Killzone
game.
That's
what Sony's always been, though.
You have your racing game that is that is not MotorStorm or Gran Turismo. Please buy this.
They do have that one original IP, that Knack game.
No one wants fucking Knack. That looks fucking shit. It looks like a bad DreamWorks.
It also doesn't look like it needs to be on the PS4. There's nothing about that game.
Well, like the idea of it is that the character breaks into a billion little pieces just to show how much PS4 can.
Yeah, it
sounds
like it'll be more of like a.
It's hard to imagine how that'll affect gameplay.
Yeah, I'm not interested.
Also, if it's $500, if it's $500, it is going to flop. Read my lips much as you can over the internet.
This brings you into the concept of the cross-generation like ports that third parties are doing. It's like they're purposely so scared of taking risks on the next generation systems that they are making games for PS3, 360, PS4, and 720, but not Wii U. But so like you have like these games that they're selling they're selling to the same market, like for these like cross generation games. Like so they're wasting these teams and this money on like they're not going to get people to buy the PS4 version if they already have the system. It's
you
just,
make it launch,
unless there's
you
like a massive change in the visuals between the two.
There's not going to be massive change because that would take a lot more effort and money to do.
And then you have to figure out why they bought it with the PS3.
When you launch a new console, you have to think of it in terms of people say they don't buy a console for just one game, but that's bullshit. They will buy a console for just one game. And you have to look at a game that has to be worth $570. And so far, there's no game on the PS4 or even rumored for the 720 that looks like it'll be worth $570.
Yeah.
Especially if it's just an
upgrade. I mean, the big
hitter,
like, at the end of this year would be Grand Theft Auto 5, and that's not on.
Oh, yeah, that's also cross generation, maybe. I've heard that.
Too many question marks at the moment.
But no one's gonna buy a PS4 to get GTA 5 on the PS4.
I mean,
if they have a PS3 and can get GTA 5 for it.
Why bother? I mean, you have it for 360 and PS3, so there's no point in buying a next generation system. So I think good luck selling systems with Killzone.
Or Respawn Entertainment's futuristic shooter multiplayer thing that is probably not going to be like Call of Duty, but it really is.
Crap.
The only reason it's getting attention at the moment is because it's like might be exclusive to the Microsoft console.
Fucking Mike.
That's the only reason Sides talking about.
How exciting!
Respawn.
That shit.
The game. I've not seen a screenshot. That's exciting.
No one wants to talk about these stupid systems.
All right, guys. We're gonna wrap this up with our E3 predictions.
E3 predictions. Woo!
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
Oh.
What? Why? No. I want to predict.
Hang on.
Hang up the call.
Oh yes, hello, it's Michael Pachter. I was just listening in, and I want to share my thoughts on E3.
Oh, okay. That was a quick phone call. Well, Mr. Pachter, do you have any predictions for E3?
Yes, I do. It's my job to make predictions. And don't get me started on Nintendo.
Okay. Don't talk about Nintendo, then.
I mean, they've already lost E3, haven't they? They've just shown the white flag. They may as well not even turn up.
Oh, my God. Okay. We hung up on them. I mean, the phone lines were cut.
Yeah.
Like, hear the sound of his own voice, doesn't
he? Okay, who wants to start with the predictions? You want to start, Grub?
All right, I'll start with my mega wild prediction. I predict we will see a new F-Zero game.
Wait, are you starting with the long shot prediction? Is that your long
that's
shot?
All I got.
No, that's all you got? I would call that a long shot. Who do you think is going to be making it?
Nintendo.
Well, what team? What team? You need to have a team.
EAD.
Doesn't need a team. It's just Nintendo. Everyone.
Everyone just stops what they're doing to make F-Zero.
Joint development by Nintendo and Nintendo.
You can't make a long shot prediction with logic behind it. I'll say Shinen, maybe. Shinen could do a great job.
I think Monster
Games. And they've been really quiet about their Wii U project.
Oh, you're playing conspiracy theory. I like it.
Well, we know Shinen are making a racing game for Wii U.
Mm-hmm.
We know they made Fast on WiiWare. So if they were making Fast 2, wouldn't they just come out and say it?
Maybe. I don't know. I like the cutting edge.
There's something else going on there. Yeah.
It's not Monster Games, please.
Well, Monster's finishing up Donkey Kong Country. So.
Yeah. Good. Mm-hmm.
And I think that the levels that they've shown for their new levels, they look pretty good. So it'll be interesting seeing how they play.
They're probably just calling Retro every day. It's like, can you guys give us some of the levels you guys cut for the game? Like, yeah, whatever. We're gonna say these are ours. Whatever. We're busy.
All right. I guess we'll just go online. You want Deg? You want to go?
Your prediction next.
Predictions. Mock Rider by Retro, whatever. If they're gonna make a new franchise,
how do you predict the take the game then?
How do you predict the take the game? Like, what do you mean? Like, what kind of genre?
Yeah, like
you can't think
like,
that far ahead, Bill.
No, but if we're making predictions, might as well make a prediction about how it's gonna be.
Well, considering, I'd say they'd probably make it some kind of. It's kind of cliche, but post-apocalyptic. Which it really is. I mean, there was one of the original games, but it'd probably be kind of like a I would say open world, but like a big desert world, so they don't have to load it as fast. They could just be a big flat plain with cactuses, between towns, and it's a way to do a big open world game without having to worry about the minutiae of shop fronts and shit that people keep with. Because whenever they meet open world, they just meet a big fucking city.
Mm-hmm.
So, they could do that, and they could basically reinvent the franchise however they see fit. So it won't matter to us. Like, we were done. We don't have any ideas for Mark Ryder. You can have it. Yeah, that's it. Also, if I had to say, I'd say a lot of Japanese support for the Wii U that they've been keeping secret because they want the Western third parties to feel like they're special.
All right, who's next? Who wants to go?
I'll go next. I think we'll probably see some revivals of the old Nintendo franchises on the eShop.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly, I think F-Zero, but I also think the Mystery of Murasame Castle.
That was already shown, Australia showed the trademark for it?
Yeah,
so
it popped up this morning.
I want to see that come over here because it's a really fun game.
Are you talking about the original version?
Yeah, the original.
Yeah.
Virtual console.
That game's kind of weird. I'm just going to tell you that.
It is weird, but it's fun. It is a fun game.
It's like if they had Zelda. Look, take the map out and have it be like an action samurai.
It's a faster Zelda, that's what it gets. Sort of thing.
And there get some enemies that you have to hit the A button just the right time,
Uh-huh. All right. Is that all, Matt?
Yeah.
Don't have anything, no long shot prediction?
Mm.
What do you feel deep inside your heart? Yeah, there we go, Star Fox.
Platinum. Cool. They want to do it, let them do it.
All right, Fernie.
All right, serious prediction. I think they'll unveil a new 3DS model. It'll just be like a redesign of the original one. Because they seem to be phasing out the original design now to focus more on the XL, but
right.
It just seems weird to have the XL as the main 3DS around. So it won't be much.
I guess
of a
the timing's right.
Probably
3DS Mini, probably what, for squirrels to play? It makes it any smaller. I mean the 3D effect.
It's like a nut you can play inside.
It's nice to know Sony has not fired those guys. They still suck with the Vita. Their big advertisement for the Vita was some woman tying her shoes for a second and saying, "Game changer."
That is a game changer.
It's not offensive. It's not anything else.
A shoelace tying simulator.
Oh, yeah.
Also, I think Accolade's going to rise from the grave, and they're going to bring back Bubsy.
Whoa.
It's going to be
it's going to be
a massive deal. It's going to be Bubsy 3D2, The Revenge of Bubsy. It'll be exclusive to the Ouya.
Oh,
Ouya, whatever the hell it's called.
Okay, so that's it for your serious predictions. What's your long shot prediction?
Awesome.
I think Nintendo will go third party, and they'll make games for the Dreamcast.
Finally.
Yes, yep. That's always what I wanted.
They'll go third party and buy Konami and fire everybody, and then buy Capcom and fire everybody, and then buy Square Enix and fire everybody. And, you know, until they're the only third party left.
Somehow, in the end of it all, Bomberman for 3DS comes back, and it's the only game made.
All right, that it for you?
I think so.
What do you mean, is that it?
Is that it? You need more predictions.
Well, what's your prediction, Bill? Jeez.
Oh, okay, I'm the last one. All right, first, I think we're definitely going to see Star Fox in some shape or form. There's two developers that I feel have the highest chance of doing it. The first of which is Treasure. Treasure has been missing for 2.5 years, the only reason why they would be missing and not announce anything is if they're working on a Nintendo game. And who else is better to make a Star Fox game than the people who made Sin and Punishment? I feel like they have very good credentials to make a Star Fox game, so I would love to see them doing it. And number two would be Retro. I mean, because I already feel that they're going to be bringing back a classic franchise of some sort, and I think they could also reboot the franchise, so to speak, since the last couple of ones have been sort of iffy. Besides Star Fox 64's 3D, which was just a port. Another one is with Smash Brothers. I think the teaser's going to show off a major third-party character. I think it's gonna be Mega Man. I think Capcom's been working with Nintendo a lot recently, so I feel like they're gonna give them at least one of their characters, and hopefully not Pac-Man. No Pac-Man.
That runs into his mouth.
No. And then my long shot prediction, the same long shot prediction I've made for the past 3 fucking years, is that we're going to see a 3D Pokemon RPG for the Wii.
Not happening.
No, we're going to see it this year.
Yeah, it's already 3D.
Already.
It's already 3D on the 3DS.
I know, we're going to see a real 3D RPG.
By true 3D, you mean 3DS, right?
No!
Pokemon Mystery
Dungeon. I've got news for you.
Console RPG.
Pocket
Bill's just so desperate for that dream coming true.
I want it.
It's not going to happen. Make a better prediction.
You know, I'd be happy with a Pokemon Stadium, to be honest. It's been so long since.
No!
It's been ages since one of those.
Hell, you already got it. It was like Gale of Darkness or some shit like that on the GameCube. It was all serious.
It doesn't count. Shit. I don't want that.
8 years ago.
I want an open world Pokemon RPG game.
Can't happen.
No.
Never happen.
Did you want it is?
It won't happen.
There you go. Use open world again. You even know what that means.
Yes, I do. It's a world that's open.
Well, it's already going to be.
I want a Pokemon RPG game made with the Xenoblade engine. How about that?
Not happening.
Ah, that's what I want.
No, you'll get your Pokemon Channel 2 in your life.
How about like a Xenoblade type game made in a Xenoblade world?
Well, we're already getting that.
And Xenoblade's not turn-based, so that's a problem. We can't have, like, that'd fuck the whole thing up.
Well, obviously. I mean, we can still make it turn-based. I'm just talking about the world is what I mean by open world. I was making fun of my... Everyone's attacking my long shot prediction.
Because it's stupid. You keep making it. It's always wrong.
Everyone would rather have Bubsy on Ouya.
I don't think Fernie was...
more realistic.
I think Fernie was...
Don't judge us, Bill.
He's totally being serious.
We'll have our dreams.
Bubsy is going to come back.
Oh, my God. Okay.
That's been a good chat. And
I think we can talk about now. I think we can keep going.
Hey, Fernie, have you seen that Bubsy cartoon? It's awesome.
On the pilot episode, yeah.
All right.
What could possibly go wrong? times in 5 minutes.
All right.
Okay, we're hanging
wrapping this up.
Before we get too crazy. Bye!
Thanks for listening, guys, and hope you enjoyed it.
See you later.
I've got street passes coming out of my ass.
What's wrong with you?